Hey y'all, this is Sam, and this is Cramology. This is episode 147. Before we get started, just some housekeeping things. Make sure to follow us both on Instagram and Facebook. Both of those are at Cramology Pod. We've got an email that's CrimologyPod@gmail.com. You can literally send us anything over there, suggestions, comments, concerns, any kind of things over there. Rate, review, 5 stars, do all of those happy things. And yeah, obviously this is another episode that I'm doing without Steven. We have 3 more episodes for the rest of this season. If you're new, seasons don't really matter to you. The only difference is if we put things in seasons, it kind of helps me and Steven with organization or on our end with like filing and different things that we do. And so the only difference in seasons is I try to have like each season be a kind of theme. And so this season is the top case from all 50 states. And so each season is about 30 episodes. So we're doing the same thing with season 5, and then season 6 we'll just be finishing the rest of the 50 states. So it won't be the full 30 seasons, obviously, but we will finish the rest of this series in season 6. That just gives me a little bit of time in between each season to also like buff up my already made, like so that way I can pre-make episodes, if that makes any sense. So we have got 3 more weeks, and then we've got that little bit of a break, and then we'll come back with the rest of the states that we have. So yeah, let's get started. This is episode 147, Joseph Edward Duncan. So this week's state is Idaho, and I completely forgot to look up like fun facts for Idaho. I just know that I'm a big fan of Idaho because my favorite food is the potato. So Idaho potatoes, big fan. So that's all I know. Do they even, anyways. And so that's, I don't have any fun facts about Idaho. So sorry, Idaho. But another case that we've already covered for this state is Eileen Warnos. So you can go back and look at that one. That is the case that is most popular for Idaho. But this was also another case that I found that is related to Idaho. So we'll get started. So we're talking about Joseph Duncan, who murdered a family in their home and is said to have murdered many before he was actually caught. So now going back in time to Joseph's younger days, in 1978, Joseph committed his first known crime at the age of 15 years old. He raped a 9-year-old boy at gunpoint, and then he was caught and he was arrested. The next year, he was arrested for driving a stolen car. And so as a juvenile, when he was arrested, he was sentenced to spend some time at a boys' ranch. So while he was in the boys' home, his parents divorced, his father remarried, and all 3 of his older sisters moved out of their family home. Now, he was only in there for a short amount of time, only a couple of months. But when he got out, like, his whole world has been flipped upside down. So after he's released from the boys' ranch, he stole several guns from a neighbor, and he abducted and raped a 14-year-old boy. He was arrested and he was sentenced to 20 years in prison. He only served 14 years before he was paroled under the condition that he wouldn't engage in any interaction with a minor. After he was released, he moved into halfway houses, and he ended up moving kind of all over the country. He would move somewhere, stay there for a little bit, and then move again. So the fact that he moved so often, this also makes it hard to kind of nail down how many crimes is he related to. And so you'll see a little bit later that when he's officially caught and when he's officially done, the Idaho police basically get with the surrounding states and the surrounding counties And they're like, let's figure out, like, so basically from this time that he's released from this halfway house to the end of his life, they're like, let's track, like, how he would drive from one place to another, and let's see if we can associate him with any unknown, like, see if we can associate him with any crimes that happened in that area that we may not know who it is. So, with all this moving that he's done around, there, he is probably has so many other crimes out there that we may not ever know that are his. So after 2 years of being on parole, he ended up violating his parole when he was arrested for marijuana usage and possession of a firearm. He was then sent to jail for a month before he was paroled again, this time having different conditions. So the conditions were obviously stay away from a minor, stay away from drugs, you're not supposed to have a firearm, like basically common sense things. So during this second parole in 1997, it is said that he murdered a 10-year-old boy in California. And then this same year, he stole his girlfriend's car and traveled abroad and was later arrested. And then in 2000, he was released from prison for good behavior. In 2004, he molested a young boy at a playground and tried to do the same to the boy's friend when he was caught and arrested. But again, he was released on bail. About a year after getting out on bail, it starts to look like Joseph is like planning on either moving again or he's taking a trip. So April 15th, he goes and he buys night vision goggles, he's buying camcorders, and then he rents a Jeep Grand Cherokee. April 27th, he stole a license plate from another vehicle and put it on his rental car. May 4th, the vehicle he was driving was officially reported as stolen from the rental company. And then on June 1st, a warrant was issued for Joseph's arrest when he didn't show up for his trial that he was out on bail for. So at some point in his travel, Joseph ends up at this family's home. The people who live here are 40-year-old Brenda and her 37-year-old boyfriend Mark, and then Brenda's three children, 13-year-old Slade, 9-year-old Dylan, and 8-year-old Shasta. So May 15th, the family has a big barbecue at their house, and they have family members there, they have friends to come over, it's like this whole thing. And then also on this day, Slade had been hired by a neighbor to mow his lawn, but at the time, the neighbor didn't have cash to pay Slade, so he told him that he would come over to the house the next day and bring Slade cash. So then on May 16th, the neighbor goes over to the family home. He sees all of the cars in the driveway, so suspects that they're going to be there. But when he knocks on the door, he notices that the door is kind of a little bit open. It's not shut all the way. And then he hears the family dog barking inside the home. So he just gets kind of this eerie feeling, so he decides to call police. When police arrive at the home, they find the dead bodies of Brenda, Mark, and Slade. But the other two, Dylan and Shasta, are nowhere to be found. And when this happens and they're not found in the house and there's no evidence of where they went, a search is immediately started for the two of them. So May 19th, an employee at a sporting goods store calls police and says that a man was just in his store asking for directions and that he had two kids with him that fit the description of Dylan and Shasta. Now, officials are too late, and when they get there, all three of the people are gone. But they searched the area for the white van that they drove, but officials couldn't find them, so they had gotten away. So during this time, one man nicknamed Concrete Bob had been thought to be the guy that they were looking for. Bob's own wife came to police and said that she thought Bob might have killed Brenda and Mark because Bob owed Brenda $2,000 and that Bob had told his wife that morning that he was going to go to Brenda's house the morning of the murders. Now, when Bob hears about this, he ends up turning himself in to police. He ends up going to the police station and he denies any involvement. He says, here's my alibi. I was not here. This was not me. He does a polygraph test, which he passes, and then his alibi just does check out. So he was released and he's not really looked at ever again. Marijuana and methamphetamines were found in both Brenda and Mark's bloodstream at the time of their death. So officials thought that this could have been either a drug deal got bad or maybe some gang-related violence. So officials bring in local gang members, but they're having a hard time putting pieces together. The gang members don't have any information that helps them with the case. And then officials are trying to figure out what a motive would be for gang members, but they're not finding a motive that makes sense. And then the gang members that they are questioning, their alibis checked out. So this was also kind of a lead that they stopped looking at. And with no new information and no new sightings of Dylan, Shasta, or Joseph, officials are pretty much like at a standstill. Until July 2nd, 48 days after this case begins, Joseph and Shasta are spotted at a Denny's Diner restaurant. Other people at the diner recognize Shasta immediately from billboards that were placed around the area. So they call police. And then when police arrive, Joseph is arrested and Shasta is taken to the nearby hospital. But Dylan is not with them and he's not nowhere to be seen. When Shasta is finally questioned, she led police to a campsite that she said that Joseph held her and Dylan at. And then while searching the area, 2 days after Shasta was found, the human remains of Dylan were also found. An autopsy showed that he had been shot and that his body had been burned after he was killed. Joseph pled guilty to the murders of the family and pled guilty to the crimes against children for what he did to Dylan and Shasta. And then the jury came back with a verdict of death on all three counts that Joseph was eligible for. Now, according to records, since this Joseph's final arrest, since this arrest when he was found with Shasta, he confessed to his crimes immediately. He didn't put on a front. He didn't try to make up a story. He immediately confessed to his crimes and repeatedly sought to plead guilty for what he did. Like, he never said, this wasn't me. Tried to make up a story. Like, he was like, nope, I want to plead guilty. Like, this was, you know, kind of a hint of remorse. Joseph also admitted to killing more children. A blog was found that Joseph apparently kept where he detailed the murders that he committed, which is also a big reason why we also think that Joseph's murder number is higher than we may ever know. In 2011, Joseph pleaded guilty to the murder of a 10-year-old boy from 1997. And he was sentenced to 2 life sentences for this murder. But due to the sentences he had already received up to this point, he was never tried for the murders of 2 sisters from 1996, who were 11 and 9 at the time of their death. Even though Joseph gave officials details of the crimes and admitted to killing them too, he was never tried for these 2 crimes. In 2008, Joseph waived his right to an appeal after his sentencing hearing. He said publicly in court, if any appeal was ever made in his name, that he just wanted everyone to know that it went against his wishes. However, Joseph would end up passing away on death row on March 28th, 2021, after he was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer. And then at the time of his death, there was an open appeal in his name. So, Idaho, this is just the next top case from your state. I don't know. Like I said, this is one of those that he traveled everywhere. I think he originally was from Seattle, Washington area. But then like this, it shows up in Idaho. He like I said, he murdered a boy in California. He murdered those sisters somewhere else. So these his crimes are all over the world. And so Idaho is where he murdered this family. So that's why he's most known in Idaho. So that's episode 147. Like I said, we have three more left in this season, and then we'll just take a short break. Hopefully Stephen will be back with us a little bit more. Just scheduling and everything has been hard for both of us. I don't know if we talk about this here. We both do very mediocre storm chasing. And so it's storm season. So it's either like he's out and about or I'm out and about. And then it's just life situations that we haven't been able to get together, even though we live 15 minutes away. So hopefully, if even in the next three episodes, next season, he's with us more often. But episode 147, thank you guys for continuing to come listen and supporting us. Looked forward for those next three states and then for the rest to come. Let me know if you have any suggestions for other seasons. What is that? We have 23 more states to do before we're done with this season. Then I've got to figure out something else to do. So give me ideas of what you want to hear. Just let me know. That's it. Episode 147. Like always, this is Sam. And this is Crimeology.